Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
But I really believe that. And so I'm excited for all of you that have never heard my pastor preach and never met them to meet them today. So would you please help me welcome Pastor Tony and Cheryl Ashmore up here. And they're going to be taking it from here.
Good morning. Well, like Pastor Ben said, it's been 2 years since we've been able to be here, and we have missed you guys. And we were so excited to see people we already know. But, man, we look around, and there's so many new faces that we can't wait to meet. So, and when we pulled onto the property this morning, like, this has always been such a special place. And I hope you know that, and don't take it for granted, that this is a special place. And one of the things that we admire most about your pastors is that they are two of the most consistent people we have ever met. Circumstances don't change the way they act. Things that happen don't change the way they address the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation. And it's just a safe place for you guys to be. And when we walked in this morning for prayer, the music started going, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I got something I want you to tell the people. And it was this. It's guard what's going on here. Don't take it for granted. Guard it. And how do you do that? Well, Ephesians 2:10 says this. You are God's masterpiece. He created you anew to do the good works he had for you long ago. So it's not an accident that you're here. It's not a coincidence that you're here. You're exactly where you're supposed to be at the right time. Yes. And you guard what's going on here by doing what God's called you to do here. So I want to encourage you, if you're not on a ministry team, if you're not an intercessor, if you're not doing something, you ask God what it is you need to do. Ask your pastors where you're needed. But jump in and guard what God's doing here. Don't take it for granted. Be appreciative. Thank him every day. There's not a lot of safe places sometimes, and you are in one. So I'm excited for you. Don't stop. You keep moving ahead with God, and we're just so excited to be here.
All right. Well, good morning. I'm Tony. She's Cheryl. So you just heard the smart one. So now you get to listen to me. Pastor Ben had asked me to continue on. I understand y'all been looking through the book of Daniel with Steve and Ben and sharing some things. And what I thought I'd do is just give you some oversight. You know, just say, okay, what can we learn from Daniel? Things they taught you, and just kind of what can we take away from Daniel? And hopefully today I just encourage you, because basically they sang my message. All those songs were basically my message is, hey, he's the God, he's still God, and he still reigns no matter what it looks like, and no matter how lonely you feel or how separated you feel, no matter how much you're hurting, no matter what you've been through, he has not abandoned us or you. And he loves his church, and revival is coming. Revival is, here's the vision I had this morning. Any of you surfers? Anybody surf? Anybody ever see a surfer? Anybody ever seen the ocean? Anybody know what low tide is? Anybody love your mama? Okay. Some of you won't even raise your hand for that one. Come on now. All right. But here was this kind of this vision I got of it's like it's been low tide for a long time. And it's like this unusual low tide. And it's, you know how it just gets still? And you know what low tide is? We live on the South Carolina coast, so we've come from coast to coast. And at low tide, you get some of the smells that you don't get at high tide. You get some of the, in our area, we have this stuff called pluff mud that's like quicksand. You don't wade into pluff mud. The pluff mud will suck you up. But you can smell it at low tide. At high tide, you don't smell it. And you see things. There are things revealed at low tide that aren't revealed. And the water is still. And for those of us that fish, fishing is really not very good usually at low tide. And I saw it was like we've had a year of low tide. And what I saw was the tide turning. And the tide is turning for you individually. I think the tide is turning for the church corporately. And if you're a surfer, what you know is you can't just be anywhere when the tide turns. You got to be in the right place. And the best surfers position themselves to catch the waves. They don't just hope they catch a wave. They position themselves to catch the best waves. And they know they're able to look at the signs and see, and they're able to look at the swells and look at the wind, and they're able to recognize, hey, if I'm here, then I'm not going to catch a wave. I'm going to be crushed by the wave. But if I'm here, I can catch that wave. And I believe that there's a new wave coming. And I believe, and this is one of the things that I think Daniel teaches us. A lot of us want to see revival in our nation. God wants to see revival in us. A lot of us, I just thought, a lot of us are judging our nation and judging all the things that, I mean, look, we know it's gone crazy. Jesus would say to us if he were today, I told you it would go crazy. I told you that as the day drew near, the world would get crazier and crazier and darker, and what Jesus would say is, so why are you so surprised? And I also told you, you are the light on the hill, that you are my house. And here's what's amazing to me, out of all the generations that could have been here for this last year, that could have been here, God could have chosen anybody he wanted to be here. Now, he chose us. He handpicked me and you and all these generations that are alive today to be the generations for this day. And I think sometimes we forget that we are. You know, in the world, we have this definition of perfection. If you're a musician, musicians tend toward perfection. If they don't watch it, they'll just beat themselves up bad, you know. And there's a big difference in... And see, for us, we human beings, we define perfection as the absence of mistakes. I used to have our worship leader. He's a great musician and singer, but he says, look, here's what you do. He'd teach all our musicians, if you miss a note, when we get to that spot, miss it again, and everyone will think it belonged there. But we think that perfection is the absence of mistakes, but the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that God builds you up into a perfect man, which means you are thoroughly equipped for whatever comes your way. See, perfection isn't the absence. It doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. Perfection means I have within me, through the Holy Spirit, everything I need. I am equipped to not only handle, but to overcome whatever comes my way. And to be a light in the darkness. How's God going to light up? You know that verse that said he can light up the darkest night. How's he going to light it up? Us. Jesus said, you're the light. I'm leaving. You're the light. And so I think Daniel encourages us. There's this whole counterculture thing. And if you think about Daniel, I don't know what all Pastor Ben and Pastor Steve have taught, but here's the interesting thing to me about Daniel. You know, he was a POW. He was brought to Babylon as a prisoner of war. And then we know that he just eventually rises, a POW rises to second in power in the kingdom that took him prisoner. That's pretty amazing. Here's the other thing about the whole Daniel and then Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego that amazes me. There were thousands of young Jewish boys taken captive by Babylon and brought to Babylon. And what Nebuchadnezzar would do is pretty smart. What Nebuchadnezzar would do, he would invade another land, another culture, or he'd invade them. He'd bring back the brightest and the best young people from that culture to him, to live with him. And what he was doing is a couple of things there. He was making sure that he always had bright people around him that were immersed into his culture that could help him sustain what he was doing. And he was also making sure that the places that he had just invaded didn't have any bright people left so that they couldn't rise up again. You know, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, narcissistic as he was brilliant. I mean, God himself says of Nebuchadnezzar, there'd be another, never be another king, an earthly kingdom like the one Nebuchadnezzar led. And so he brings them in, and some historians tell us that there may have been about 20,000 young Jewish boys brought in with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here's what has always astounded me is how many of those other ones do we know their names? How many of the other ones allowed themselves to be immersed into the culture and fit in? There were four of them that we know stood out because they refused to be immersed into the culture. And so we're in a culture, you know, a culture war. We're in a, there's a lot of countercultures going on out there. And one of the things that I think we can learn too is watching how they handled the clash of cultures. You know, the whole thing with the food, remember when they bring them the food and you're going to eat this food, you're supposed to eat the king's best food because he's feeding, these are his bright young geniuses that are going to help him. And so he's feeding them king. And you remember Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego refused to eat the food. Well, they didn't refuse, they requested. Can we be allowed not to eat this food? And some of it was because it wasn't kosher, it wasn't under the laws. But one of the things was is because the meat and the wine had been dedicated to idols. And so they recognized not only was this, hey, this is breaking a rule, but they also recognized this is an attempt to immerse us into a culture. This is something where we take on what this culture deems as normal. And I just love the way, one of the things I think we can learn from them is how they were so respectful of people they didn't agree with. And I don't know if y'all have noticed or not, but that seems to be a thing that's not too, you know, is. And I'm not just talking about the cultures that are anti-Christian. I'm talking about within the Christian culture, we've become a bunch of pretty judgmental people. And we've set ourselves up to be able to judge and to condemn. And then one of the things that most disturbed me, I don't know what disturbed you about the election just went through, but I'll tell you the thing that most disturbed me about the election was the way Christians behaved and are behaving. Is we're believers. And first of all, which kingdom do you think you're a part of? Is the political, if you'll remember the political kingdom, Jesus is when he first came. You remember the people in that day were a little irritated with Jesus that he wouldn't get involved in the politics. And in fact, some people think the reason Judas betrayed him was to push him into revealing himself as the king of Israel who was going to throw out the Roman Empire. And of course, it backfired because Jesus had already told him, that's not the kingdom I'm here to get involved in. I'm establishing another kingdom. And see, there are several kingdoms and cultures at work in our nation today, in your city today. You know, we have a political kingdom. We have religious kingdoms. We have economic kingdoms. We have military kingdoms. And all of these are cultures that Jesus said, that's not the kingdom that I came to build. And I've had people get really upset with me about things about, you know, I said that, people one time said, you need to understand that was a Democratic candidate and a Republican candidate. That wasn't God's candidates. They were Democratic and Republican candidates. Sure, you know, we ought to be involved in politics. You ought to be, you know, speaking up about what you believe in. And you know, there are things, you know, I'm big pro-life. I'm all about let's save babies' lives. And I'm big on it. The kingdom, there's no political kingdom is going to make that happen. You know, I mean, I'm all about, we participate with an organization called Birthright that is all about helping young women who have decided to have their babies. But you can't legislate morality. We've seen, if you try to look, we just, in you know, our home states, Georgia, we moved to South Carolina a couple years ago, but in our home state, we just had a guy just went through and killed a bunch of people at massage parlors. And then the first outcry I heard was, hey, we need more laws about hate and this and that. I thought, how many laws you got to have to tell people not to kill other people? Is he ignored the first law that said, thou shalt not kill. Do you think he's going to obey any of the other ones? It's a heart change. And see, though, there are none of those kingdoms that we keep putting our hope in have the ability to change the heart. The only place on this earth that can transform whole communities is the church of the Lord God. And if we don't watch it, we will make ourselves the place people don't want to come to by the way we react to the other kingdoms. And what Daniel, Meshach, and Shadrach, and Abednego taught us was that you cannot agree and still treat people with respect. You watch the way they treat Nebuchadnezzar, oh my king. And they were, all right, so then about the whole thing with the food. We don't want to eat that. What are we going to do? We're going to start a movement, and we're just not going to eat, you know, and we're going to strike, and we're going to do it. No. He asked the head of all those young men that were taken prisoner, hey, would it be okay if we ate this way? And the guy said, problem with that is, if you don't get, you know, that's going to maybe get me in trouble. So he says, no. Well, then they go, they didn't start their strike or anything. What did they do? Then they go to the guy that's over them, and they say, hey, could we try this? And he said, here's the problem with that. If you guys don't look as good as the rest of them, guess whose head's going to get chopped off? And then Daniel says, well, what about this? Would it be okay with you if for 10 days we tried it? Now, well, listen to how he's doing that the whole time. He is not once disrespecting. See, here's something we need. Here's something you need to get. Respect is yours to give away. Now, I'm not talking about trust. Trust is earned. Daniel didn't trust them, but he gave respect to them. And you get to choose what you're going to do with your respect. Let me give you another little tip that I learned from Daniel. Is that thing about our opinions. When I was in college, Ben, my roommate had a big poster up on his wall, and it was this huge gorilla, and he looked angry, and he had a club in his hand with nails at the end of the club, and at the bottom it said, when I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you. And what Daniel teaches us is your opinion should be given when it's invited. Is that... that you just don't, you know, start, okay, here's my opinion. Well, did anybody ask your opinion? And let me give you something that set me free a few years ago when my pastor taught this to me. Tony, you don't have to have an opinion on everything. I thought, man, that is so free. What do you think about so-and-so? I don't think about it. And that is just, I love, you know, Jesus said, that when you give your opinion unsolicited, he said it's kind of like casting your pearls before the swine. Not only will they trample on your pearls, they'll turn around and attack you. You ever done that? You ever had that? Any of you parents ever given your opinions unwarranted to your kid who didn't want it? And they looked at you and they went, what'd you say? Yeah, your grown kids. You give your opinion to your little kids. They don't have the right to turn it down. Okay. They don't have the right. I used to do therapy with kids, and I was all the therapists on my team, I was old enough to be all there. They had just all graduated. I have a master's in counseling, and I was lead therapist. And so all these young ladies on my team had just graduated from college with their degrees, and none of them had kids or anything. And so one of them, we had a 15-year-old girl who was in one of our groups, and she was having a lot of troubles, and the lady that was her therapist said, you know, this mom goes in her room and checks her drawers and checks stuff in her room, and you know, she has a right to privacy in her own room. And I said, she sure does, and when she owns a room, she can have that right. She said, what? And I said, she don't own that room. That's her mom and daddy's room. They got the right to go in there and see how their 15-year-old, how many of you know, how many of you have ever been a 15-year-old? Did any of you ever go stupid at any moment? Did any of, man, I did. 15 years old, I could go stupid at any moment. Now, none of the 15-year-olds in here have ever done it, and you probably never will, but your parents did. They just went stupid at any moment. And so they live in this thing of, my 15-year-old might go stupid at any moment, so humor them. But have you ever given your opinion to your grown kids that was unsolicited? And did they didn't attack you, but they might have, as they walked off, they went, boy, how dumb can you be and still breathe? How out of touch reality are they, huh? And so Daniel teaches us those kind of things. And then there's so many things, but I want us to look at this one verse, and then I'm done. Daniel 2:44, I think it's the most powerful verse in the book of Daniel. During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. Daniel's interpreting a dream. First he tells the dream to Nebuchadnezzar that nobody else could tell. And then he interprets the dream, and here's what he's telling this king. And he's telling him, he describes all these kingdoms, and he said, in all these kingdoms, they'll all go away. But my God is building a kingdom that no human being can destroy or conquer, and it will stand forever. And I want you to, let's get a little context. Daniel is from Israel. Israel has been conquered. He's in another country as a prisoner of war. His country not only has been conquered by this one, they had been conquered by a nation, by Egypt, before this one. His country at one time, under David and Solomon, was the greatest kingdom on earth. Nothing compared to it. We read about the queen coming to visit Solomon and bringing all of her gifts. And all of her gifts were nothing compared to what Solomon gave her back. And then she said, I had heard about this kingdom, but I really didn't expect it to be this good. And now that kingdom's gone. And he's a prisoner. Now, God shows him a dream where Babylon is going to fall. He said, this gold kingdom is going to be supplanted by a silver kingdom, which is the Persian kingdom. And in the Medo-Persians, there was a bronze kingdom. And God shows him all these kingdoms that are going to come. And guess what Daniel gets? Not one of them does it ever, in all this thing that God's showing him, not one of them does it say, and Israel was going to crush this one, and Israel's going to be top dog again. And Daniel sees all that, and Daniel knows that in my lifetime, I will never see Israel in all of its glory again. That in my lifetime, I'll probably never return to my country. And God shows him all this. And you know what I love about Daniel? Is he didn't quit. He didn't go off by himself. He didn't sink into depression. He didn't battle with all these mental anguishes. He knew, no matter how many kingdoms come and go, I know the end of the story. No matter how many cultures rise and fall, I know the end of the story. No matter what it looks like going on around me, I know my God is the God of revival. That my God, there's not a prison wall he can't break through. There's not a mountain he can't move. There's not a broken body he can't raise up. There's not chains he can't break. And regardless of what the cultures are doing around me, I will not be moved. I'll be respectful, but I'll stay true to my God. And look, it's been 2,000 years since Palm Sunday. And we have to ask ourselves honestly, were those people more on fire for him than we are today? Here's what my son-in-law, who's now pastoring the church we led in, and I don't know, is the team want to come back up? Or, and my son-in-law, he sends me his message. He's pastoring. He and my daughter are now pastoring the church that we started, Lifegate Church. And Cheryl and I are retired. And we live on the beach in South Carolina. And are about 6/10 of a mile from the beach. And the so he sends me his message every week. And he has become quite the teacher of the Word of God. It really has. It's amazing. And so he sent me his notes, and I learned something from his notes this week about Palm Sunday that I didn't know. That at the same time the parade was going on that we read about in the Bible, did you know there was a parade on the other side of the city welcoming Pilate into the city? And there was a whole bunch of Jewish people faking it over there that they were happy that Pilate was coming into the city, because they had to fake it. You know, they wanted to find favor with this culture that was ruling them. They wanted to bow down to that culture and find favor with that culture. And so there's this whole another parade going on over there that's a fake parade. And when he sent me that, I thought, man, you know, here it is, Palm Sunday. Which parade are we in today? Are we, you know, and I guarantee you there were some zealots over there at Pilate's parade that were plotting his downfall. There were some zealots over there who were, even though they were there at the parade, they were pulling for him to fail. And they were plotting maybe his murder or his overthrow. And I just think Jesus has challenged us today is, which parade are you part of today? Are you part of the, because here's what Daniel knew. Daniel knew as he's interpreting those dreams, there is a king coming. Yes, king. Right now I'm calling you my king, but there is a king coming. And on Palm Sunday, Jesus walked in. And we all know the end of that triumphal entry is he accomplished what he came to accomplish. He went to the cross. He took our sin. He died. God raised him from the dead. We're saved. We're free. We can receive the Holy Spirit. And we're now his church. All because of that entrance into that city. The parade's still going on. And when I was years ago, there used to be a song called "The King Is Coming." Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. And it was this, and we would sing it every Easter. And it was before the next great hit came along, is "He's Alive." You know, we'd sing it every Sunday. And I don't know what they are now, you know, but you know, the King is coming. And Daniel was able to live through what he lived through. And take hope. Even though, and listen, here's what Daniel knew: the king wouldn't be coming for a long time. He knew, I'm not going to see the king. We don't know that. The king could come today. It's what we know is that the table's been set. There are no signs that have to be fulfilled for Jesus to come. He can come at any time. It's only thing that's holding him back right now is the Father, and the Father is holding him back because he wants to see more people in the kingdom. More people in the kingdom. And so I just challenge you today is, what's your mindset? What's your heart like as we wait for the King? We're the church of the living God. We're the city on a hill. And look, culture is gone crazy, and it's going to go crazier. Let's don't judge them. Let's be light in the darkness too. Let's leave the judging to the only one who's qualified to judge. Here's what Jesus said: if you have no sin, then you're qualified to judge. So that pretty much disqualifies all of us. Let's leave the judging of other cultures and other people to the one who's qualified to judge them, and let's be light in their darkness.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just shine so brightly that when they realize they've been tricked and duped and that their culture's not working, that they'll know where they can find hope. That they'll know where they can find peace. That they'll know that when depression is crashing in on them and suicide is telling them they don't have anything to live for, they'll know where they can find answers. Just like Nebuchadnezzar and all of those cultures knew, out of all these people in this kingdom, I know where I can find an answer. It's that little Jewish boy named Daniel. There ought to be people in our schools, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our communities that say, I know where I can find answers. It's that little Christian that lives around the corner. It's that person that's so respectful and gentle. It's that person that just loves people. It's that person that just shines brightly wherever they... I bet you I can find an answer for them. I think that's my challenge. I think what Daniel challenged me today. It's, man, Tony, live. Live in the parade. Live in the Palm Sunday parade. Don't get over there in that other one. Live here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you found that encouraging. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything. Ben will come up here and do an altar call. But as I was praying this last night and this morning, I just felt like the Lord said, there'd be somebody in here today. You're dealing with depression so dark that you're just wondering if you're ever going to fight your way out of it. And the Lord just would tell you today, the light is here. The light is here. There's somebody in here that you've been having suicidal thoughts. Yeah, that's a spirit. And you've been actually entertaining. You've actually developed a plan. And the Lord would say to you today, put that plan aside. I got good plans for you. And he brought you here today just for you specifically to know he loves you enough that he just called you out right here in front of everybody. He's not asking you to raise your hand and let anybody know, but he's saying to you, I know what's going on. I have not abandoned you. And I will bring you through. Don't you dare quit. Hallelujah. Lord, we just love you. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of revival.
Hallelujah. Come on, what a great word. Hey, come on, you give Tony, Pastor Tony, a hand. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to open up just a moment for prayer. If you need prayer for anything today, but here's what also we're going to do. We're going to go back into some worship, and we're just going to spend some time worshiping for a little bit. And but here's the thing. You don't have to stay for that. You got places to go. You can go. And also, if you have kids, go check your kids out. Bring them back in. I don't know. We'll go for another, 5, 10, 15, an hour. I don't know. Just kidding. But I just want to spend some more time worshiping, and we're going to open up this front area here, and I'm going to have some of our small group leaders, some of our pastors come up. If you need prayer for anything, if you need to respond to that message and say, you know what, I've been operating in another kingdom or serving another kingdom. I've been living for that culture, and I need to surrender my heart to Jesus. We're going to be here for it. I believe that the word that Pastor Tony had, actually, I believe it's there's somebody watching online right now, and you need to just get some prayer. Here's what you can do. Real simple. Just text the word prayer to 858-943-2221 or follow that link that the service host is putting up right now. And someone will pray for you like in the next 15, 20 minutes. They'll be checking to see if anybody responds. We'll pray with you and pray for you, give you some resources to help you. And we'll connect with you. So let's do this. If you got kids, go ahead and grab them. And bring them back in if you want. If you got to go, God bless you. We're going to be here Friday night. We're having Good Friday service. Love for you to come out, worship with us Good Friday, 1 hour, no kids classes, family style. And then Easter Sunday, 10 o'clock. And so, Ben, why don't you just let us go back to some worship moments. You need prayer, come on up. Go get your kids if you're going to stay in worship. Bring them back into this atmosphere.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.